AmericaAir.com.
Animation to the real stuff. Nancy Pelosi wants to go from Speaker of the House to the minority House leader. What's the over-under on that one happening? What do you think? The president gets clobbered in the midterm elections with 6 out of 10 independents voting Republican. Most of America worried about jobs. He decides to go to India, the site of outsourcing some of those American jobs. Two of my friends got the boot. Thanks to India. And the court jester, or, I'm sorry, all the president's men realize it when it's way too late again that, ooh, the timing of this trip might not be right, and maybe the message isn't on target. Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. This is America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. Welcome to the show. We start in Mumbai. That's where the president is, as I mentioned. Here's what he had to say about jobs and India.
People are frustrated, and although we're making progress, we're not making progress quickly enough.
All right, so not quickly enough. So halfway through his term, he's acknowledging, yeah, we got to make some corrections. And it's obvious because, once again, Tuesday was the scorecard, and there's still some votes trickling in, by the way, some seats still not decided. Regardless, it's clear that the Republicans had an avalanche of support. Like I said, the key, I think, demographic, if you will, is the fact that the people with independent stripes on their backs went the way of the GOP. That's stunning. I mean, still to me, that is stunning. Mostly an independent. Well, yes, occasionally pick a Republican, but really for the most part, they want to be seduced by the Democrats. They just don't want to call themselves a Democrat. So that was a big, fat, red flag. So, you know, it wasn't about a presidential election last week. It was the midterm elections, but it was the thrashing that the party took, the Democratic Party. So now the Republicans have the House. There is no longer the great big Democratic majority in the Senate because they also made some gains there. We know that. We've already gone over that ad nauseum in the past couple of days, the last couple of shows, if you will. But anyway, the president knows that there is certainly a ticking clock in the background. By the way, ticking clock. Did you remember that it was daylight savings time? I have to admit, how it slipped by me, I have no idea. I woke up and I thought I was doing my deal, and I thought, I'm reading the paper and I'm doing all this stuff, and I start thinking to myself, it's funny, I'm seeing different times on my clocks. Well, hello, lady. Wouldn't you realize it's daylight savings time? I wonder how many of you did things like that, like went to church too early, ran out to meet somebody but realized that you were there way too early, so you had to sit in your car and wait for a while. I think a few people did it. For some reason, I don't know, it just kind of got by me. Anyway, that clock that is ticking over the president's head is 2012. What's going to happen in 2012? And certainly, there's still a great chance that President Obama could be reelected, and the people around Obama, like any politician, are playing for the next 4 years. So the trip to India, the timing couldn't have been worse. Not that he decided necessarily to go to India because of, look at, India is bordering Pakistan. We know what's happening in Pakistan, and then, hello, go over to Afghanistan. But the fact that all of this about costs came out, and some of it was exaggerated, some of it was on the mark, whatever, because, of course, there had to be tight, tight security. But after, I think, what happened in the elections, and because of India and the outsourcing, for goodness sake, even one of the networks has a new show called Outsourcing, making fun of the fact that every time you and I call somebody, whether it's a credit card company or some other company, half the time you're getting somebody in India who's either pretending to be in America not very well, or they just flat out will tell you if you ask them that they're in India, and they try to help you through whatever problem it is. Usually, in a lot of cases, it's a technical problem, and then sometimes it is a credit card thing. So here's the president. He gets big criticism after he went to visit the victims of the 2008 Mumbai attacks. He didn't make any reference in his remarks to India's traditional foe, Pakistan. See, this is the problem in trying to be careful about, you know, you think of the terrorist shooting rampage in 2008. Well, who was responsible? Pakistani militants. So there were some raw feelings there, and they were definitely on display by some of the people kind of yelling anti-U.S. or anti-Obama things out. Now, we all remember this. Remember 166 people? It was the 60-hour rampage through Mumbai, right through the heart of the financial hub, knowing that at these luxury hotels there would be a lot of Westerners. So in India, they want a big fat statement against Pakistan for what they're calling fostering militants. But it's that dancing along that line that the president has had to do on this trip to India. So you think to yourself, fair or foul? And I happened to read earlier today when I got up too early, the New York Times and a piece that Frank Rich wrote. And I thought it was so well written. A lot of times I don't agree with what he says. I think he's an excellent writer. But in his op-ed piece, the title was Barack Obama, Phone Home. Get the reference, Phone Home? And in it, he talks about the fact that what is going on with this presidency? That are they this clueless? First, this starting with the trip to India because of, like, the reasons we've been saying, the fact that you have so many people who have lost their jobs to outsourcing of business in India. And he said it great. He said, I'm going to quote him. He said, after his shellacking, Obama had to do something, but who had the bright idea of scheduling his visit to India for right after the election? He says the Democrats' failure to create jobs was at the heart of the shellacking. Absolutely, because that's what all the exit polls told us. We have almost 10% unemployment, but ask the people in Nevada, it's 14%. Ask the people in California, and they're still banking on IOUs, so nobody wants to hear about outsourcing, and you think India. That's just what you think. So the White House decided right before he left, heading into the weekend, to change the trip as a jobs mission. They were calling it something else before reaching out to India, and instead they make it a jobs missions trip at the 11th hour. Not like anybody in the media where they were sending out all these press releases didn't realize what had happened there, and certainly it wasn't lost on a guy like Frank Rich, who picked up on the theme. And basically throughout what he talks about in his op-ed piece is, look, you've got a White House that can't even fill a 13,000-seat arena in the very blue of bluest Cleveland right before the midterms. So maybe it would have been wise to work on the recovery from here at home and not spend money, basically, abroad, because it's another shoulda, woulda, coulda deals. And we'll talk more about the exit polls and the administration's ignorance when it comes to interpreting what the American people are saying. Hey, speaking of that, one of the big themes from last week was we don't like the health care law the way it's laid out because we're going to have to pay more. We didn't get what we bargained for. We're going to talk about that next on America Tonight.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
On this show before, we thought he was terrific and it'd be fun to check back in with him and see what kind of headway he was making on a very serious topic. You know, we just went through October, which was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everywhere you went, you saw pink ribbons. There was the 3-day walk. And, of course, at most grocery stores, there were things going on. I mean, almost anywhere, even the NFL, the guys wore pink on the bottom of their shoes and had sometimes pink on parts of their uniform, the NFL embracing that. And it's amazing what Nancy Brinker has done with the Komen Foundation and how far that has gone and, of course, what's happened in breast cancer awareness. But now there's this other thing, because we care about our men, we care about all of you listening, that is called prostate cancer. And prostate cancer, believe it or not, more guys are actually diagnosed with prostate cancer each and every year than women with breast cancer. But you wouldn't know it, because while there are people talking about it, there are still so many people who don't get checked. And men are notorious for not going to the doctor. You guys have to go to the doctor and get this checked out, because you can nip it if, God forbid, you're diagnosed with it. All right, so without further ado, from our virtual green room, we do usher in Norris Baron. Hey, Norris, thanks for popping back on ATM. We appreciate it.
Hi, Kate. How you doing this evening?
Last time we talked, you know, you've got a book out about prostate cancer. That's your mission, you know, sort of banging the rafters, if you will, and telling people more about it and how you need to take control of actually your own health care to know what's going on. Do you feel like you're making some headway?
Well, I think there's a lot of headway being made, frankly. Now that we have some clarity as to next steps with respect to the health care law, now that the elections are over. I think there's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of improvements and a lot more attention given on the cost of health care and the kind of health care we're going to be able to get. I think there's a lot of good positive momentum that's going to make a lot of these issues become significantly more able to be dealt with by most of us.
Yeah, I think, and when you talk about the cost of it, that's part of it for people, right? They don't want to go get tested because they don't want to pay whatever it is.
And you're right, and that's becoming a bigger issue. The preventive care testing, especially with the screening controversy that's been going on the last year or so, the question is whether or not we're going to have some of these tests paid for under the new health care law, and that remains to be seen as far as I know.
Yeah, it's still up in the air, but you're right. With the change and now how a lot of things are going to be reexamined, I think it'll, as far as the cost is concerned and certain tests and all that kind of stuff, I think a lot of that will be wrapped up into whatever moves forward as we move into next year and at the tail end of, obviously, this year lame duck session. So let's get to the heart of this. As I said, most men avoid doctors. What can the women listening do, or what can other people do to change this fact?
The first thing I would suggest that women do is nag. That's the first thing.
Women are good at that.
Yeah, well, it's something that I think is essential, because a lot of men, I was visiting with a group of CEOs the other day, and of all the men in the room, I can just tell that three or four of them were just not at all interested in knowing about prostate cancer, and yet three of them, the same group, had prostate cancer, and the depth of the understanding and the emotional involvement that you can see by those that had it is just unbelievable. We need to be giving more attention to prostate cancer because it's a silent killer, because it doesn't have always symptoms. It's just not something that's going to go away, and younger and younger and younger men are beginning to get diagnosed, so let's give it some concern and some thought. It's just one of those things that is just so important.
Yeah, talk about, you did this a little bit last time, but I had some questions after you were on. Talk about PSA testing, and you mentioned this, the controversy. What's the controversy over it?
The controversy is that there is not enough scientific evidence that shows that enough lives are saved by virtue of the screening. Let's put it this way. I want the PSA test because I want to know if I've got something going on. Okay. However, the doctor says, look, the fact that you get the PSA test, if it shows a significant number, it doesn't mean you've got cancer. On the other hand, if it shows a low number, it doesn't mean you don't have cancer. So there's always a next step. The next step is a biopsy, which is an invasive procedure. So the question is, for all of us generally, there is no right answer because there are studies upon studies that tell doctors different things. The key question then remains is it's no longer necessarily a complete standard in terms of everybody's going to have it. It's more of, doctor, do I need it based upon my history, based upon my risk factors, and should I get it? And that's really what I think everybody's talking about in terms of saying, let's decide whether or not it's appropriate for you, as opposed to saying, everybody gets it.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good thing. You know, we talked about women getting involved, nag, 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 but also other family members can get involved, too. If you have a close relationship with your father, for example, that could be an easy thing to do, I think. Say, hey, Pop, get a test, right?
Interesting. I met a gentleman I've known for a number of years who had prostate cancer, and when he found out I had the book, he immediately said to me, send me three of them. He wanted each of his two sons to have a copy, and he sent one to his cousin. The day after his cousin received the book, coincidentally, he had an annual physical, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer at that time. So it was very coincidental and very timely.
Wow, no kidding. Hey, tell us about your book. What prompted you to write it and all that sort of stuff? We talked about it a little bit last time, but dive into it for us.
Well, like most people, when my PSA test became an issue and I went ahead and had a biopsy, I felt the way I guess a lot of people feel. I didn't know what prostate cancer was. I didn't know what some of the symptoms were. I really was very uninformed, and I had to go through this whole long process of spending hours and hours and hours doing research on the Internet and looking at books and talking to the doctors and seeing doctors, and it was just a very, very stressful time for me to the point where I had to make a decision, and then I made one decision, and then I backed off, and then I made another decision. It's just, there's got to be a better way. And I decided after 3 years of being away from the prostate cancer, I said, you know, something simple. A 100-page book is what I wrote. It's designed toward telling people where they are in the process when that first PSA test comes back in such a way that it causes you a concern. What do you need to do? I try to ask questions and give people a list of questions that they need to ask doctors. I want them to know what they don't know. I want them to know where to get information. And I put it into such a very short, easy-to-read, non-technical book that it's worth somebody's time to be able to say, you know what, this is where I can get, as they call it, the Cliff Notes version of what I need to know so I can at least reduce the stress, know what I have to do, and know what the questions I have to ask. It just helps people make the process a lot easier.
Do you, if somebody has a test and it comes up, they go through your book, they read it, like you say, the thumbnail sketch, comes up positive, do you recommend that they get a second opinion?
You know, there's no question about it, because if your doctor, if you go see a urologist and he's a surgeon and he recommends surgery, there are at least six major categories. There's 20 different treatments, 20 different methods of treating prostate cancer currently that are well recognized in this country in six major categories. You really need to know what those categories are. Side effects are very, very much a part of what you're going to do. Quality of life issues after treatment is very much a part of making a decision. You don't want to just go to one doctor and ask. You need to have a variety, because it's a very important procedure. And prostate cancer, for the small gland that it is, can cause people a huge amount of trouble after the treatment. So you really want to get the benefits of saying, what are all these possibilities, and I want to make a decision. And by the way, when people make a decision like I did, I must have made the decision four or five times before I finally decided what I was going to do.
Yeah, good for you. All right, so we'll tell everyone, pick up a copy of Prostate Cancer. Hope is not a strategy, certainly not. Tips from a survivor. You just heard Norris tell you his story. A great gift, I think, for some of the men out there listening, some of the women listening. Give it to your husband, your brother, your nephew, whatever, so that more people get tested. Norris Baron, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Keep pushing the crusade.
Kate, thanks very much for having me tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. And, yeah, that's the thing. You know, we just got through the pink ribbons, like I said, but isn't it crazy to think that more guys actually will get the diagnosis of prostate cancer a year than women with breast cancer? I had no idea about that till I read Norris's book. Hit us up, Day or Night, on Facebook, Twitter, or AmericaTonight.net.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. JCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
We're going to do another segment of We Can Count. But before we get to that, because really we've just scratched the surface, let's talk about some of the odds and ends. I mentioned this at the top, and of course we were just talking about health care. We know this is where the Republicans are going to try to take their big shot at another health care overhaul and pick through some of the things that were thrown into the initial law where that actually most of it hasn't taken place yet, except for the kids and the pre-existing conditions, and certainly that's going to stay. Nothing is going to change there. But the one thing that's going to happen, and what I believe anyway, most of the Republicans, the newly elected and the guys that are currently, and women, I guess, that are currently there, say the huge, huge issue besides jobs is that people are not comfortable with the new law. People want it repealed and replaced with something else. Not saying forget about it, but something else. And what Mitch McConnell, longtime Republican from Kentucky, says is, look, I think we owe it to them to at least try. But here's the thing. Republicans don't have enough seats to just push through a repeal if the Democrats stand and stay there in support of health care reform and the new law. So Republicans would have to get involved in this push-pull thing with the Democrats, which, of course, is nothing new, but they would have to have some Democrats support it because it certainly would face a veto from the president. I can't imagine that the president is going to look at any kind of a full repeal. Certainly not. That's a no. There's no way he would look at a full repeal and sign it. There's no way. Whatever the reforms are, that's not going to happen. But would there be a few cherry-picked things that could come out that would work? I mean, there's your big question. Because the president has to sign the bills. This is going to be a real test because I really believe that what the Republicans are going to do is they're going to kick the doors in on health care. The second that the newbies, the Senate-elect guys, get into place, then you're going to see that's what's going to happen. It's going to be torpedoes ahead. That's what's going to happen right in the very beginning. In the meantime, what's interesting, while the Republicans are talking about overhaul and having oversight hearings and cutting off money to implement the law, so that maybe that would be a way to challenge it because they don't think they're going to get the full reform and they're not going to have the common sense forms that they were hoping would happen, like during that whole debate to reduce spending. So what also is going on is the inner wars between the Democrats. This very strange thing happened to Nancy Pelosi when she was clobbered in the midterm elections, not for her office, but the fact that she's losing, of course, her grasp on the Speaker of the House, because that's going to be John Boehner. Theoretically, he's definitely the guy that's stepping into that role. So Pelosi's out in that role because the majority goes to the Republicans. But the Democrats are saying that some of the Democrats, the more moderate Democrats, are saying they're not going to support Nancy Pelosi, who wants to be the minority leader. And you even have some Republicans taking shots saying that to keep Nancy Pelosi as the party chief in the House is ridiculous because it means they don't get what's going on. The one who screamed the loudest was Republican Eric Cantor from Virginia. He's number two. He's in line to be the number two House Republican. He says, you know, look, they're not willing to work with the president on, this is what Cantor's saying, they're not willing to work with the president on an expansive liberal agenda that the White House has pushed for 2 years, and that includes, of course, Nancy Pelosi, and saying that obviously the Dems don't get the message if they don't dump her from that, if she's the minority leader on the Hill in the House, then how ridiculous would that be? And see, there it's all about friends. It's all about what the Democrats decide to do. If Pelosi is going to stay, because it looks like she's staying, period, anyway, so she's there for a couple more years, do they press and push her out of that role, or do they support her in that role? You think of who might be pulling the agenda behind the scenes because of what she pushed for and got with health care reform. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. That's the behind-the-scenes pulling at, I think, the play behind the scenes. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not she actually stays, digs her heels in and stays and gets that position, or she does not get it, or there nobody crosses over, or not enough people cross over to help her out and make sure that, in fact, she is in she is in that role when it's all the dust settles. All right, another part of odds and ends, since we're kind of going down the political path here on this one. Janet Napolitano has spoken again, and this time the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary saying that, you know what, regular people around the world need to realize that they are the eyes and the ears. They can play a big role in thwarting terrorist attacks. Because they might notice something in a neighborhood. They might see something on a street. You might pass a quiet message about, hey, these people have gone over to Somalia. We don't know what they're doing, but they're back. You might need to know about that. And even though there hasn't been any major terrorist incidents, you could say, on our own soil since the September 11th attacks back in 2001, of course we know that there have been almost a dozen plots against New York City alone that have been stopped. And the big one that people were talking about was Faisal Shahzad and what happened in Times Square. And he almost blew part of it apart, and he ended up being sentenced to life and yada yada. And Napolitano is saying that it was a street vendor who noticed smoke coming from the car and was the one who actually got to the police and cleared the area. And if they didn't have that tip, they, who knows, maybe they would have had an explosion. So she's saying, if you see something, say something. That's the campaign. Great. So there's a new campaign. If you see something, say something. I thought we were already doing that. Wasn't that what I hear every single time I'm in an airport somewhere? Isn't that being pumped out that if you see a suspicious package, an unattended package, if you see somebody suspicious, I heard that on the subway, in the subway going to New Jersey from New York. Actually, it would be the path, I think they call it. And there were comments over the speaker about that. So I thought that's what we were already doing anyway. And can you imagine these local police departments, some of the calls that they have to field? Because you just know there's going to be crazy calls about things that people think they see, but they don't really see. And you have to believe that if somebody, I still think this, if somebody really wants to do damage, they've got some roadmaps, and there's ways to poke holes in the system. Certainly we saw that when it comes to overseas cargo. That could have been an incredible disaster. I mean, amazing, actually, that that was stopped, if you believe that there were 17 minutes until it was going to explode or not. Let's just say it was pretty darn close, and I do believe that. So where are the holes in the system? That's the thing. Don't worry about citizen patrols. Worry more about, sure, of course, don't you think people are already calling those in? Talk to some of the police departments, and they'll tell you about some of the nutty things they also try to field and how that can take them away from something that might actually happen. That's the other thing. But at this, in the same breath, it has to be about being more aware of what the gaps are in the security system. Like, why weren't we aware of what was happening with cargo? Because, of course, you know there's no 100% when it comes to shipping things. It's just like when we had on Jeff Atticott, I think it was a week ago, talking about, he's, of course, a terrorism expert, talking about the fact that, isn't it great that you can go online and you can track all your packages? So think if you're somebody who wants to blow something up, how easy would that be if you get the package through? You're watching to see when your package is going to be delivered. I mean, you almost have it on. In fact, I think you have it almost down to the minute. If you go on UPS, I've gotten those tracking notices, and then boom, doorbell rings, there you go. And he said how there's something that's part of modern technology that's an advancement, but that could also be an advancement for somebody who wants to do something terroristic with packages. Those are things that they're not thinking about when it comes to security. Those are the things that I think have to be brainstormed out. Okay, how would you possibly slip things in? Don't worry so much about citizens patrolling and looking around to see what they think is suspicious. Because here's the deal. The Saudis were the ones who warned the U.S. of the package bomb plot weeks before it almost happened. So somebody there sent the tip in the first place, and it was somebody in intelligence sent that over from Yemen, that they managed to smuggle in bombs onto airplanes and what could have been a series of catastrophic explosions on these jets. And we know that a Yemen-based Al-Qaeda group in the Arabian Peninsula claimed responsibility this weekend for sending the bombs addressed to the synagogues in the U.S. and intercepted in Dubai and Britain. They said, you know, they were the guys that were sending it. And it certainly, they also said they were responsible for the crash of a UPS cargo plane in Dubai in September and threatened more attacks on passenger and cargo aircraft. That's where you got to watch.
to ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
All right, let's head out to talk to some of you as we're going to shove aside We Can Count. Tomas in Michigan, hello.
Hello, this is the Kate Delaney America Tonight Show.
It certainly is. What's up, man?
Hey, I hear old Keith, old Dumber Man, is going to be back on TV tomorrow.
Yes, on the Matt Lauer Show?
Yeah, that's it's on the Internet. His suspension is over.
Oh, you're talking about, I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said W was going to be back on the air again. I got to clean my ears out. Meaning he was pushing his book and he's doing a thing with Matt Lauer and the Today Show. No, you're talking about Keith Olbermann, who said that he donated to a couple of different campaigns, including Jack Conway, the opponent of Rand Paul in Kentucky's. And he said that on the air, and of course, he's not supposed to do that, so he was pulled off the air and was temporarily suspended, and yes, he's going to be back on the air on Tuesday.
Yeah, so that was a long suspension. What, like,
I know you are not surprised by that, because remember, NBC can twist and bend its rules to whatever suits them, and so it suited them to put Keith Olbermann back on the air. So they, of course, yes, they broke their own little rule, and they ended his suspension early. never in the history of journalism, they make you sign these crazy things. And one of the things, of course, especially because that's what he's supposedly doing at NBC, you can't do that. You can't donate to political campaigns. That's just not done. But I guess it's different.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's in his contract, okay? I don't know. I haven't seen his contract, but if he can blatantly and openly support the Democrats on his show, I don't see how they can suspend him for giving them some money. I mean, I bet you the CEO of MSNBC gives hundreds of thousands of dollars to both the Democrats and the Republicans. But, hey, I think every day Keith Olbermann is on TV, people run to the right. You know, they just, because he's just so full of hate, and he just, you know, cursing at everybody there. He drives people to the Republican side. But,
well, that's the answer is, in the game of television, it's about ratings. It's about getting ratings. And if you check the ratings of MSNBC, for as many people that might like Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow or whoever, their ratings are not great. The ratings are, you know, lower on the scale of some of the other cable shows. So that's the report card there. I mean, they're going to care about ratings and how much they're selling. And there's no question, MSNBC, NBC Universal, all that, they have policies against journalists contributing to political campaigns. And he definitely signed something that said that. But this is part of the deal. I mean, this is part of the dog and pony show, because then they get attention. He gets suspended. People who love him write letters and say, we want him back, and this is crap, and we need him. And then other people say he should be off the air, and boom, they got a story.
Oh, so it gives more publicity to MSNBC.
Yep. It gives more publicity to them. That's it. Well, hey, but you're right about one thing. When he's on the air, because of how he, there's no question he's unplugged, you're right. There's people that look at Olbermann and they hate it. They don't think he's the right kind of progressive or whatever, and they won't watch his show because they think he's too over the top, too angry now.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2012, that's what we're going to be talking about now for the next 2 years. And, I just hope that the guys in Afghanistan are not played with by both parties, because,
yeah,
you know, Obama's saying he's going to take them out, but then he's saying, well, I'm not going to take them out exactly on one day. And then, of course, the Republicans are going to say, oh, look, you already told the enemy you're taking them out. I can see a tug of war there, and our troops are going to be the ones that suffer. And I just hope that that they keep that in mind, because you know, it's going to be really hard to keep the Afghan people on our side when they know we are abandoning ship.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's already hard anyway, because part of the problem is you have that idiot Hamid Karzai, who's the president, who couldn't be more corrupt, and is, you know, he admitted to taking bags of money from Iran. But regardless, Tomas, your statement is true. The problem is the troops caught in the middle of this after 9+ years, and then to the people that supposedly they're working with, which they are, in these villages, all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, you guys are going to leave, so why should we pay attention to you? The Taliban's going to give us, they're the ones that are going to end us up giving us some money and making sure that we get fed in these villages. So, yeah, we'll listen to you for now and take whatever you're offering, and then we're just going to go back to the way it was, which is, I think, what would happen.
And you know, Kate, I want to disagree with you. You all the time are, you know, criticizing Karzai.
Yeah.
Up. But, I mean, we're over here, and our Treasury Department is printing money to buy our own Treasury bills, right?
Right.
The quantitative easement. I mean,
right.
Like, you know, if I want...
Yeah, but
I
what does that have to do with Karzai? I think that's crap, too. I think it's ridiculous what Ben Bernanke did. I said this all the time. My father told me 10 years ago, they're just printing money. It's ridiculous. So, no,
yeah.
I agree with you about that. I agree with our monetary system and the fact that we need to look at the Federal Reserve. And I don't think that there's crazy corruption and power-mongering in this government. You bet I do. But I think in Afghanistan, if we're talking about that, Karzai is the worst for that, for the Afghanistan government. They're two different things we're talking about.
Well, I just say calling a politician corrupt is like you know.
Well, yeah, yeah, there you go. Line up the ones that you're right. You know, you're right. If we're cynical, let's pick out the ones that aren't. Tomas, thanks. We got some other people in line. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, gorgeous?
Good. What's on your agenda?
This morning I was ready to kill somebody.
Ooh.
Okay. You know I referee football.
Yeah.
Okay. This weekend was what they call, okay, they had the consolation semifinals and the championship semifinals. Okay. So what they do is that they mix crews. So they had me and Elizabeth going with, when I found out who, what association we were working with, I said, we're working with those clowns. Because the president and the assigner treat it like their own little private dictatorship. You say boo, and you don't get any games, or you get crap.
Right.
And he thinks that their officials are the best, that they should be doing the NFL. And once he found out that they, that we were doing three games, once he found out that they were only head reffing one game, these two guys show up and said, no, we don't care what it says on the assignment sheet, we're head reffing. And then when Elizabeth walked in, one of the guys said, oh, what's this Mitch doing here?
Wow.
And I said, oh, excuse me? What did you call her? So someone from our provincial association, I'm sorry for boring you with all this, but it just got me really PO'd, said, excuse me, gentlemen, we're going by the assignment sheet. We don't care. They were acting like, you know, hey, they, you know what, didn't stink. So the provincial association rep said, gentlemen, there's the door. You don't like it? Leave. So I'm thinking, oh, God, what are we doing? The Provincial Association had a backup plan. They had two officials. They had two of their own officials because, you know, football is winding down here. So they had two officials who were going to supervise us instead worked with us. And they saw Elizabeth working. They're saying, where was she 10 years ago? And I'm thinking, yeah. So those guys are up in the stands mouthing off about everything else. So the provincial, so then their president showed up and said, what's going on here? We told him. He said, we don't give, and so then that president said, we don't give a crap. Anyway, games went smoothly. Elizabeth got great supervisions. And I'm saying to her, Liz, they're recommending you should do varsity high school football next year. Take it. You'll never know. Hey, like the New York State Lottery slogan is, hey, you never know.
That's right. You never know. I love that. Hey, yeah. Sam, we got to fly. We want to squeeze in one more. Thank you. Let's go out to Al in Canada. Al, you have the last word this hour. What's up, man? Quickly.
I think us North Americans are going to have to train our airline screeners a little better. There was a 95-year-old man got on the on an Air Canada flight in Hong Kong, and when the plane landed in Vancouver, British Columbia, he went into the washroom on the airplane as a 95-year-old man and came out a 20-year-old Chinese guy. I heard Obama's Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet, not up to speed, all right? She was talking. Did you hear about that case?
Yes, I know all about it. And you know what? That story about the man. Thanks, Al. It's interesting that you brought that up. Interesting because we talk about how you have to be aware of what's going on around you. But now when you have a master of disguise around you, how would you realize that that guy was actually not the old man? That was the craziest thing. And there may be more of that coming down the road. Yikes.